ಯಶೋಧನಂದನ ಗಜಗಣನಂದನ
ಭಗವತೇ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं
नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं
नरं चैव नरोत्तमं
नरं चैव नरोत्तमं
देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं
देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं
ततो जयमुदीरये
नष्टप्रायेषु
भद्रेषु
नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु
नित्यं भागवत सेवय
नित्यं भागवत सेवय
भगवती उत्तम श्लोके
भगवती उत्तम श्लोके
भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी
भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी.
We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 26, Text 1-3. 26th chapter is titled as King Puranjana goes to the forest to hunt and his queen becomes angry. Recite the first shloka. Narada uvacha
Narada uvacha
Sa ekada maheshvaso
Sa ekada maheshvaso
Ratham panchashvam ashugam
Ratham panchashvam ashugam
Visham द्विचक्रम एकाक्षम त्रिवेणुम पंच बंधुरम स एकदा महेश्वासो रथम पंचाश्वम आशुगम विषम द्विचक्रम एकाक्षम त्रिवेणुम पंच बंधुरम
स एकदा महेश्वासो
रथम पंचाश्वम आशुगम विषम द्विचक्र एकाक्षम त्रिवेणुम पंच बंधुरम
नारद उवाच स एकदा महेश्वासो
रथम
पंचाश्वमाशुगम
द्विषं द्विचक्रमेकाक्षं त्रिवेणुं पञ्चबन्धुरम्
नारद उवाच
स
एकदा महेश्वासो रथं पञ्चाश्वम् आसुगम् द्विषं द्विचक्र एकाक्षम् त्रिवेणुं पञ्चबन्धुरम् नारद उवाच
स एकदा महेश्वासो
रथं पञ्चाश्वमाशुगम् द्विषं द्विचक्र एकाक्षम् त्रिवेणुं पञ्चबन्धुरम्
नारद उवाच
సేకదా మహేశ్వాసో
The next two verses. ఏకరశ్మ ఏక దమనం ఏక నీడం ద్వికూబరం పంచ ప్రహరణం సప్త వరుతం పంచ విక్రమం హైమోపస్కరం ఆరుయ స్వర్ణక వర్మాక్షయేషు ఏకదశ చమోనాథః పంచ ప్రష్టం అగాద్వనం. వాట్ వర్డ్ మీన్ Narada Uvacha.
Narada
Saha.
Saha.
King Puranjana.
King Puranjana.
Ekada.
Ekada.
Once upon a time.
Once upon a time.
Maha Ishvasaha.
Maha Ishvasaha.
Carrying his strong bow and arrows.
Carrying his strong bow and arrows.
Pratham.
Pratham.
Chariot.
Chariot.
Pancha Ashram.
Pancha Ashram.
Five horses.
Five horses.
Ashugam.
Ashugam.
Going very swiftly.
Going very swiftly.
Dvitisham.
Two arrows.
Dvi Chakram.
Two
wheels.
Eka.
One. Aksham.
Axel.
Three. Venum. Flags.
Pancha.
Five.
Banduram.
Obstacles. Eka.
One.
Rashmi.
Rope.
Rain.
Eka.
One.
Damanam.
Chariot driver.
Eka.
One.
Needam.
Sitting.
Place.
Dvi.
Two.
Kubaram.
Kubaram.
Post to which the harness are fixed.
Post to which the harness are fixed.
Pancha.
Pancha.
Five.
Five.
Praharanam.
Praharanam.
Weapons.
Weapons.
Sapta.
Sapta.
Seven.
Seven.
Varutham.
Varutham.
Coverings or ingredients of the body.
Coverings or ingredients of the body.
Pancha.
Pancha.
Five.
Five.
Vikramam.
Vikramam.
Processes.
Processes.
Haima.
Haima.
Golden.
Golden.
Upaskaram.
Upaskaram.
Ornaments.
Ornaments.
Aruya.
Aruya.
Riding on.
Riding on.
Varna.
Swarna.
Golden.
Golden.
Varma.
Varma.
Armor.
Armor.
Akshya.
Akshya.
Inexhaustible.
Inexhaustible.
Ishudhi.
Ishudhi.
Quiver.
Quiver.
Ekadasha.
Ekadasha.
11.
11.
Chamunathaha.
Chamunathaha.
Commanders.
Commanders.
Pancha.
Pancha.
Five.
Five.
Prastham.
Prastham.
Destinations.
Destinations.
Objectives.
Objectives.
Agad.
Agad.
Went.
Went.
Vanam.
Vanam.
To the forest.
To the forest.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Shri Prabhupada Ki
Jai.
Translation. The great sage Narada continued, "My dear King, once upon a time, King Puranjan took up his great bow and equipped with golden armor and a quiver of unlimited arrows, and accompanied by 11 commanders, he sat on his chariot driven by 5 swift horses and went to the forest named Panchaprastha. He took with him that chariot 2 explosive arrows. The chariot itself was situated on 2 wheels and 1 revolving axle. On the chariot were the flags, were 3 flags, 1 rein, 1 chariot driver, 1 sitting place, 2 poles to which the harness was fixed, 5 weapons and 7 coverings. The chariot moved in 5 different styles, and 5 obstacles lay before it. All the decorations of the chariot were made of gold." Perfect. These 3 verses explain how the material body of the living entity is under the control of the 3 qualities of external energy. The body itself is the chariot and the living entity is the owner of the body. As explained in Bhagavad Gita, "Dehinosmin yatha dehi." The owner of the body is called the Dehi and he is situated within this body, specifically within the heart. The living entity is driven by 1 chariot driver. The chariot itself is made of 3 gunas, 3 qualities of material nature, as confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 18:61, Yantra Rudhani Maya. The word Yantra means carriage. The body is given by material nature and the driver of that body is Paramatma, the super soul. The living entity is seated within the chariot. This is the actual position. The living entity is always being influenced by the 3 qualities: Sattva, goodness; Rajas, passion; and Tamas, ignorance. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 7:13, Trivir Gunamayir Bhavahi. The living entity is bewildered by the 3 qualities of material nature. These 3 qualities are described in this verse as the flags, as 3 flags. By a flag, one can come to know who the owner of the chariot is. Similarly, by the influence of the 3 qualities of material nature, one can easily know the direction in which the chariot is moving. In other words, one who has eyes to see can understand how the body is being driven.
influenced by the particular type of quality of material nature. In these three verses, the activity of the living entity is described to prove how the body becomes influenced by the quality of ignorance, even when a person wants to be religious. Narada Muni wanted to prove to King Prachina Varishad that the king was being influenced by the tamoguna and the quality of ignorance, even though the king was supposed to be very religious. According to Karma Kandiya, the process of fruitive activities, a person performs various sacrifices directed by the Vedas. And in all those sacrifices, animal killing or experimenting on the life of animals to test the power of the Vedic mantras is enjoined. Animal killing is certainly conducted under the influence of the mode of ignorance. Even though one may be religiously inclined, animal sacrifice is recommended in the Shastras, not only in the Vedas but even in the modern scriptures of other sects. These animal sacrifices are recommended in the name of religion, but actually animal sacrifice is meant for persons in the mode of ignorance. When such people kill animals, they can at least do so in the name of religion. However, when the religious system is transcendental, like the Vaishnava religion, there is no place for animal sacrifice. Such a transcendental religious system is recommended by Krishna in Bhagavad Gita 1866. Sarva dharman parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja. Aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami ma suchaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction, do not fear. Because King Prachina Varishad was engaged in performing various sacrifices in which animals were killed, Narada Muni pointed out that such sacrifices are influenced by the mode of ignorance. From the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, Krojita Kaita Vatra. All kinds of religious systems that are involved in cheating are completely kicked out of Srimad Bhagavatam. In the Bhagavad Dharma, the religion dealing with one's relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, animal sacrifice is not recommended. In the performance of Sankirtan Yajna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, there is no recommendation for animal sacrifice. In these five verses, King Puranjan's going to the forest to kill animals is symbolic of the living entities being driven by the mode of ignorance and thus engaging in different activities for sense gratification. The material body itself indicates that the living entity is already influenced by the three modes of material nature and that he is driven to enjoy material resources. When the body is influenced by the mode of ignorance, its infection becomes very acute. When it is influenced by the mode of passion, infection is at the symptomatic stage. However, when the body is influenced by the mode of goodness, the materialistic infection becomes purified. The ritualistic ceremonies recommended in the religious systems are certainly on the platform of goodness. But because within this material world, even the mode of goodness is sometimes polluted by the other qualities, namely passion and ignorance, a man in goodness is sometimes driven by the influence of ignorance. It is herein described that King Puranjan once went to the forest to kill animals. This means that he, the living entity, came under the influence of mode of ignorance. The forest in which King Puranjan engaged in hunting was named Panchaprastha. The word pancha means five, and this indicates the objects of five senses. The body has five working senses, namely hands, legs, the tongue, the rectum, and the genitals. By taking full advantage of these working senses, the body enjoys material life. The chariot is driven by five horses, which represent the five sense organs, namely eyes, ears, nose, skin, and tongue. These sense organs are very easily attracted by the sense objects. Consequently, the horses are described as moving swiftly. On the chariot, King Puranjan kept two explosive weapons, which may be compared to ahankara or false ego. This false ego is typified by two attitudes. I am this body and everything in my bodily relationships belongs to me, mamta, anta and mamta. The two wheels of the chariot may be compared to the two moving facilities, namely sinful life and religious life. The chariot is decorated with three flags which represent three modes of material nature. The five kinds of obstacles or uneven roads represents the five kinds of air passing within the body. These are prana, apana, udana, samana and vyana. The body itself is covered by seven coverings, namely skin, muscle, fat, bone, blood, marrow, bone and semen. The living entity is covered by the three subtle material elements and five gross material elements. These are actually obstacles placed before the living entity on the path of liberation from the material bondage. The word Rashmi, rope, in this verse indicates the mind. The word Nida is also significant, for Nida indicates the nest where a bird takes rest. In this case, Nida is the heart where the living entity is situated. The living entity sits in one place only. The cause of his bondage are two, namely lamentation and illusion. In material existence, the living entity simply hankers to get something he can never get, therefore he is an illusion. As a result of being in this illusory situation, the living entity is always lamenting. Thus, lamentation and illusion are described here as Dvi Kubara, the two posts of bondage. The living entity carries out various desires through five different processes, which indicate the working of the five working senses. The golden ornaments and breasts indicate that the living entity is influenced by the quality of Rajoguna, passion. One who has a good deal of money or riches is especially driven by the mode of passion. Being influenced by the mode of passion, one desires so many things for enjoyment in this material world. The 11 commanders represents the 10 senses and mind. The mind is always making plans with the 10 commanders to enjoy the material world. The forest named Panchaprastha, where the king went to hunt, is the forest of five sense objects: form, taste, sound, smell and touch. Thus, in these three verses, Narada Muni describes the position of the material body and the engagement of the living entity within it. Tantrashrim Bhagavatam ki Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada ki. Om Ajnana Tavirandasya Jnanam Jana Shalakaya Chakshuro Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sagana Raghunathamritam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitam Sya Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Nityanamine Namaste Saraswate Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gaura Krishe Namaha E Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tatta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishavano Sate Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karoti Vacharam Bhamu Nandhaite Guni Yat Kripatam Vande Shri Guru Dinadaranam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanya Ishwaram. So now King Puranjan is doing some nice activities. He met the queen in the city, and now after that he is going to a forest to hunt. Narada Muni is trying his best to make him realize that what is he doing, what he is doing is not proper. And he is trying his best by giving different stories and analogies here. Yadi Prabhupada na hoy to dhabe ki hoy to of this verse, what would have happened? You could have at least, when I read it, just the translation when I was reading, it was very difficult to understand. Even when Shukadeva Goswami is explaining after, I think some chapters Shukadeva Goswami is going to explain, even there also it becomes difficult to relate if you just read the translation. But then Prabhupada makes it very clear. And these analogies are not very easy to understand. These are complex, like we read in the purport. So the bridle is the mind, and at the same time, in the 11 commanders, you know, there's another mind. So the same mind is there in two places.
Senses are also there.
Senses are also there.
The five horses are also in the
commanders. 10 commanders. So here, Narad Muni is saying, my dear king, once upon a time, King Puranjan took up his great bow and equipped with golden armor and quiver of unlimited arrows, and accompanied by 11 commanders, he sat on his chariot driven by 5 swift horses and went to the forest named Panchaprishta. He took with him in the chariot 2 explosive arrows. The chariot itself was situated on 2 wheels and 1 revolving axle. On the chariot were 3 flags, 1 rein, 1 chariot driver, 1 sitting place, 2 poles to which the harness was fixed, 5 weapons and 7 coverings. The chariot moved in different styles, 5 different styles, and 5 obstacles lay before it. All the decorations on the chariot were made of gold. So now after reading purport, now we'll understand this translation very easily. So the golden armor, quiver, etc. which is there, so Prabhupada is saying that represents, the color gold represents the mode of passion. And then 11 commanders, so 5 working senses, 5 knowledge acquiring senses, and mind. So Prabhupada has mentioned 5 working senses are hands, legs, speech, and genitals and rectum. And 5 knowledge acquiring senses are eyes, nose, ears, and tongue and touch. And here again, the 5 swift horses which are mentioned, those are the 5 knowledge acquiring senses. And the forest which is there, Panchaprishta, that represents the sense objects, the 5 sense objects. And then 2 explosive arrows. This was very nice. When I was reading, I was thinking what it might be. Prabhupada says here that is Amta and Mamata. It's my body, and the things related to this body are mine. And the 2 wheels and 1 revolving axle. What was that?
Religious life and sinful life.
2 wheels. Religious life and sinful life, and axle. If someone finds, please tell. And then 3 flags. So 3 flags are again the 3 modes of material nature: goodness, passion, ignorance. 1 rein or bridle, so that is the mind. 1 chariot driver. Here, it's different than what is given in the Bhagavad Gita. So there the chariot driver is the intelligence. And here Prabhupada very nicely says the chariot driver is the Paramatma. 1 sitting place and 2 poles to which the harness was fixed. And these 2 poles which are there, Prabhupada says, Dvi Kubara, that is lamentation and illusion. That binds the person in its material world. And then after that, in 2 poles, 5 weapons and 7 coverings. 7 coverings Prabhupada has given. 5 weapons are the life airs, prana, apana, udana, samana, and vyana. And 7 coverings are skin, muscle, fat, blood, marrow, bone, and semen. So in this way, we see that King Puranjan, the living entity, is very easily getting attracted to the 5 sense objects which are mentioned. So here Prabhupada is starting the purport with the body-soul concept. A very important point which we understand from this particular paragraph is any living entity who is moving in this world cannot move by his own accord. Maybe he might desire, but the person who actually makes every living entity move, be it animate or inanimate, is Paramatma. Ishvara sarva bhutana pradesha arjuna tishtati brahmayan sarva bhutani yantra rudhani mahaya. So this body is a yantra, and when we fall ill, we can easily understand, you know, this is actually yantra. We need greasing, we need lubrication, we need this and that. So it's a yantra. And Lord is actually directing every living entity. He's sitting in the heart as Paramatma, and he's directing every living entity to different places as per his desire. So this taking service from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you know, is very nice. And everyone in this world is taking service from the Supreme Personality of Godhead who is sitting in our heart. So it is said that a devotee should become one with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not Mayavad. The desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the living entity's desire should become one. Now when the living entity desires something else, apart from what the Lord is desiring, so Lord has to do this service of making sure that the Lord takes him to different place and fulfills his desire. But then when our desire is one with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so Lord will do what he desires. So a devotee, so Prabhupada writes this many times in the purports, so a devotee should strive to make sure that our desire is one with the desire of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the fortunate souls, the Bhagyavan Jeev, they get the mercy of the Guru, and the Guru tells what is the Supreme Personality of Godhead desiring. So just by executing the instructions given by Sri Guru and with complete dependence on Sri Guru, our desire will become one with that of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those unfortunate souls who don't have the association of a pure devotee, who does not have a spiritual master, it's very difficult for them to understand what is Krishna desiring. I remember this was in 2016 when I was doing e-counseling. So I got one call. So that boy is there somewhere here in Bangalore. So now see the extent of speculation of what Krishna is desiring. So he was telling that every single activity of mine, I make sure that I dedicate to Krishna, and that's what Krishna is desiring. And he said, he was telling various things, and some of them were in accordance with our Shastra and philosophy. But then he said, I watch TV. He said, okay, but then how is it, how is this Krishna's desire? So it's like Krishna is sitting beside me and I'm watching TV and telling Krishna what is coming in the TV. So this is the desire which Krishna has, and this personality understood the desire of Krishna. So we have to understand this point, that we as Bandhajivas, how can we understand what is Paramatma desiring? We are completely covered. There are thick layer that is there, that is covering our consciousness, that is called lust. And the only thing that we can think about is how to do better sense gratification all the time. How to do better sense gratification, how to do better sense gratification. So a thick layer of lust is there. And from that, how can we understand that what is Krishna desiring, what he wants from me? It's only when a person from outside comes and meets us very nicely, saying, now what you're thinking, it's, that is Krishna's desire, is not actually Krishna's desire, it's your mind's desire, or it's your desire for sense gratification. Even when it comes to devotional service, sometimes we feel that yes, this is devotional activity, but only when someone tells us from outside, no, what you're doing is sense gratification, then we understand, oh, okay, this is sense gratification. So the person from outside, you know, who is a realized soul, who is Tadvidhi Pranipatena Pariprashnena Sevaya Upadeksham Tite Jnaninas Tattva Darshinaha. So Tattva Darshinaha, Prabhupada tells in another class, Tattva Darshina is, one who has seen Krishna, he can tell. One has talked with Krishna, he can tell what is the desire of Krishna. Just like that, we cannot just speculate that what might Krishna be desiring now. Sometimes devotees have this, what would Krishna like to eat today? Maybe he might like to eat pizza today and then burgers and make an offer. And finally, I don't know if Krishna eats or not, but the devotee is satisfied. So when we understand from Sri Guru that what Krishna likes, what Krishna desires, and then when we execute, that is actually devotional service. That makes sense. And that is in accordance with what Krishna is desiring. So in this way we understand that Paramatma is actually doing lots of service to all the living entities. Shirodakshaya Vishnu, who is there in each and every atom, and as Paramatma in our heart, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is doing the service of taking the living entity from one place to another. When a devotee spends some time in Krishna consciousness, and very advanced devotee, that would be a better word, a very advanced devotee would never desire to take any service from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Raghunath Das Goswami, when he was sitting and chanting at the banks of Radhakund, I really wonder how was his chanting, that Krishna and Srimati Radharani both came to that place. So he's chanting and then, you know, the heat of that place, the sun was really strong and then scorching heat and he was sweating like anything. And Srimati Radharani comes with Pallu and she's holding her sari. And then Krishna is waiting with the arrow because the tiger was coming and drinking the water from Radhakund. And both supreme personalities of Godhead and his consort, our eternal mother, both of them, they were there serving Raghunath Das Goswami. And who sees this? Sanatan Goswami. Now look at the Tattva Darshana. Both of them are Tattva Darshis. And here Sanatan Goswami is seeing what is happening, and here one person is taking service from supreme personality of Godhead. So after this, before this incident, Sanatan Goswami, many times he told Raghunath Das Goswami that, you know, you should build a kutir and sit inside and do bhajan. But Sanatan Goswami was a renounced person. Raghunath Das Goswami was a renounced person, completely renounced. We understand from his Jagannath Puri pastimes, very, very intense. One of my favorite personalities. So intense that he would eat, you know, from the garbage, the prasad which was thrown, which was left over by, which was eaten and left over by the cows and dogs and others. He would go take that clean and eat. That renunciation was there. So he's shiromani when it comes to renunciation. So he was like, no, I don't need any kutir, it's okay, I'll stay outside. That was his mood, and then he was chanting, no, why waste time in that? But then when Sanatan Goswami saw this, he was furious. He told that we are here to serve the Supreme Personality of Godhead and not to take service. And he told what was happening. And immediately Raghunath Das Goswami, you know, he built the kutir. So here we see that how advanced devotees think about how can I serve Krishna at every moment. And when it comes to Bhaddajivas, we always think about how can I do better sense gratification. And anytime we think about sense gratification, Krishna has to fulfill that desire. Krishna has to do overtime and then he has to fulfill our desire. So this point of how can I serve the Supreme Personality of God at every single moment, how can I give him pleasure, is what is the meditation of a devotee. And any devotee who meditates like this, obviously, by the mercy of Sri Guru and Gauranga, the sense gratification desires will go down with time. Now, Prabhupada is talking about ignorance and passion. He's talking about the animal sacrifice. Recently, when we were walking, we saw animal sacrifice here in garden. So there's the lake, there is some deity, and then they were doing some. So what is actually animal sacrifice? Now, that is nothing but another form of sense gratification, nothing else. Somehow or the other, you know, people want to gratify their senses. So, we'll give a name to it, you know, saying I'm doing bali to so and so devata. And then immediately I'll make sure that I'll not waste a single piece of meat and single drop of blood and take everything, you know, whatever is there, and cook and eat nicely. So these are the animal sacrifice, and that is done so nicely with lot of, you know, awe and reverence and pomp. My mother was sharing in our village, it seems, not our, their village. So they do some animal sacrifice, and there they don't use knife, you know, they use mouth to sacrifice the animal. So this happens once in 3 years or something, and they do this. And for that, many people would come there. And my relatives are inviting us also. You also come and see. It's very nice. So the ones who are doing it, they are sense gratifiers. Ones who are seeing it, they are sense gratifiers. And together, all of them will gratify their senses by eating meat. So Prabhupada is saying that this is meant only for people who are ignorant. It's not meant for people who are in the mode of goodness or who are striving to attain the mode of pure goodness. And that's why when it comes to the current age, it's only Sankirtan Yajna, you know, which is effective. If Sankirtan Yajna is not followed, then people will get into all these things. Why? Because the heart will remain contaminated all the time. Only when someone chants Hare Krishna Maha Mantra with faith and devotion under the guidance of the Guru, the heart will start getting cleansed, Cheto Darpanam Arjunam. And the person can actually see or think of doing something which is in the mode of goodness or pure goodness. Or just very difficult. How can a person in ignorance and passion think of something else apart from his own sense gratification? So this Mahamantra, chanting of Mahamantra, obviously, the goal of chanting of Mahamantra is prema, to attain love of Godhead. Cleansing of heart, etc. will anyways happen, that is byproduct. But then just by chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, the cleansing starts. And when the cleansing starts, the person starts getting more and more clarity, more and more clarity. So Shravanam Kirtanam is very, very important when it comes to the age of Kali. And then Prabhupada is talking about, he gave the description of the entire chariot. And then at the end, he's talking about Narada Muni speaking. What was that? Somewhere it was there. So Narada Muni is basically speaking all this to King Puranjan to make him realize that what you're doing is incorrect. So when animals were killed, when animals were sacrificed, so Narada Muni showed him, now look at what you have done, and all of them are waiting. All of them are waiting to kill you. So Narada Muni is telling him that you are actually in the mode of passion and ignorance, and what you're doing is not correct. So the other day when we were just reading some passages from this, some paragraphs. So it was very nice to understand that how Narada Muni has taken King Puranjan as a project and is working very nicely. And he is telling to the detail that this is wrong, what you are doing, this particular thing is wrong, that particular thing is wrong. And this is a very important aspect in a devotee's life, especially sadhaka's life. Someone has to tell that what you're doing is not correct, what you're doing is correct, so proceed, stop. Someone has to be there to tell. Unfortunately, we don't have many devotees who take responsibility of people. We have many advanced devotees, but then some desire not to take responsibility and they're busy doing their bhajan. That is also okay. But then, if someone is there who takes our responsibility, it means we are very, very fortunate. Very, very fortunate in life. Someone should be there who takes our responsibility to take us back home, back to Godhead. And it is Prabhupada's mercy in our life that He has given us our spiritual masters. And they take the responsibility. Yes, this Baddhajiva has come to me, I'll take this Baddhajiva back home, back to Godhead. But then again, what is lacking here is our surrender to Sri Guru. Now, I was hearing from one devotee, so he was speaking to his spiritual master. He was going through a very tough phase of life and he was not understanding how to come out of it. So his spiritual master gave him instructions and then he said that, see, I'm praying for you every day, but then my prayers will be fulfilled only if you follow my instructions. That made so much of sense. I heard that. Yes, that's how it is. So Sri Guru is giving instructions and then he's also praying. These are the two things that a sadhu does. One is he takes Shubha Sankalpa, he prays for the person, he desires that he should progress on the path of bhakti. And second thing is he gives instructions. So when the instructions are given, what is a sadhaka expected to do? A sadhaka is supposed to meditate on the instructions and execute those instructions. And it's not easy again to execute the instructions because again, we are Baddhajivas stuck in the cycle of birth and death, mode of passion and ignorance. But still, when we desire, at least when we start meditating and when we start desiring, by the mercy again, by the empowerment given by Sri Guru, we will be able to execute that. And when we start doing it, yes, lots of mercy will flow. Many, many devotees share this, many senior devotees share that when we start executing instructions, we will start getting empowerment and at the same time, we will start progressing on the path of bhakti. So this point is very important to understand. And here we see Puranjan is very much satisfied. He is very much satisfied in whatever situation he is. Just 2 days back, I was hearing one class by Shri Guru Maharaj. He made a very, very striking point. He said that if we want to attain Krishna, we have to cry. So anyone who wants to attain Krishna this lifetime has to cry. And without crying, we cannot attain Krishna. This is very clear. And Krishna has proved that throughout Bhagavatam. He has proved it very nicely that if you don't cry, you will not attain me. And the ones who have cried, they have attained Krishna. The ones who have called out for Krishna with complete intensity and surrender, crying, Krishna has come to save, Krishna has come to rescue. But then, the ones who don't cry, will not attain Krishna. So the point that was made was, why we are not able to cry? After hearing that I was feeling so guilty. We are not able to cry because we are very satisfied in our life. That is the problem. We are satisfied completely. Wherever we are completely satisfied. Then I started analyzing my own life. So I was like, yes, I am satisfied. I am there in a nice ashram with nice devotees. Three times prasadam scooped by someone, we eat. And then no tension of where to get the money from. Ganesh Sundarini is coming. And then there are some devotees who are there to serve, to do this, to do that. Satisfied. What is there? But then this satisfied life will not take us to Krishna, will not allow us to cry for Krishna. When a devotee is not satisfied, when he understands that something more is there in life, and when he doesn't settle for lower things, then that time that cry will come. That time the person will be able to cry for Krishna. And that cry is very, very important. If this cry doesn't come, it's not possible. Not possible to obtain Krishna. All our Goswamis have cried. All our Goswamis have cried. Entire Guru Parampara, all of them have cried. And they have set an example that this is how now we have to cry for Krishna, to attain Krishna. So when we are satisfied with our current situation, and we are okay with it, and we are just doing the mechanical stuff daily, day in and day out, day in and day out, it's very difficult to progress on the path of bhakti. I'm repeating for myself, I'm not telling anyone here. But it's very difficult to progress on the path of bhakti. Only when a devotee realizes that everything has come to halt, everything has come to halt and everything is comfortable, then when he takes some steps to make himself, to come out of the comfort zone, then it is possible that yes, some cry will be there for Krishna, and then he'll start realizing. This is one reason that we are satisfied. Another thing is, we are not very much fearful of death. To the one who was meditating on this point, we are not fearful of death. The one who is fearful of death will be very, very intense in bhakti. Very intense. Just imagine if someone tells us, Parikshit Maharaj is fortunate, someone told him 7 days you're going to die. Suppose someone tells us that the next 3 days you're going to die. The bhakti will be so intense. No need of prasadam, no need of sleep, nothing is needed, no need of water. The person will be, at least the devotee who understands that bhakti has to be done to break the cycle of birth, and at least that person will do. But for us, we don't know when it's going to come, but still, so careless and so bold. Theek hai, dekha jayega jo bhi. Dekha jayega jo bhi hai. So since we are not fearing the death, and since we are satisfied in our current situation, cry for Krishna will not come. We see in the life of Gajendra, he was satisfied completely. Now, when he was there with his wives and kids, he was playing, putting water on wife, putting water on kids, making them drink the water, completely satisfied. At that time, he didn't call out for Krishna. When he was completely in trouble, and even at that time, it is described that for many celestial years, he was still fighting. He was completely dependent on his own strength and still fighting. Satisfied with his strength, he was fighting. Only when he realized that, hey, humse na ho payega, I cannot do it by myself. And that time, he took the lotus flower and started chanting the prayers with cry for Krishna. And then Krishna came. So these pastimes of Bhagavatam are very nice, where we understand that how, when we are satisfied in our current situation and we are settled with the lower things of life, that is sense gratification, it's not possible to progress. But then, when we realize this, the time is very short and the goal is very high, and when we start endeavoring towards it, and then when we realize it's not possible by myself, then we start calling for help. So this call is very important. This realization or this understanding is very important. And look at Puranjan. He is representing every living entity on this planet. And he settled. He met a girl, and then he's done. He's enjoying with her, and now he's going for hunting to do another form of sense gratification. So we'll see what he did in the forest and how it was in the forest. With this, I would like to pause here. And today is Ekadashi, a very, very nice day. Don't know how many more Ekadashis will be there in our life. So, better we utilize. My mother called me yesterday and she was like, when is the Ekadashi? I was like, why do you want? You know I want to do. I heard it's Papa Mochani Ekadashi. So, it's nice. It's an opportunity. It's a shortcut given by Krishna. That the goal is very high, so we'll use these shortcuts and come back to me as fast as possible. So we can utilize this day for more chanting and keeping the consciousness proper, fixed at the lotus feet of the Lord. Thank you very much. Any questions, comments?
So this point, when we start following the instruction of spiritual master, then empowerment and mercy will flow. That's a very nice design. In fact, of the many instructions that is there, we follow certain, and sometimes we are not aware of certain instructions. Sometimes, even after being aware of, we are not so much careful about. So, it's like the spiritual master is very, very merciful that he prays and he gives the instruction. And I've seen sometimes when the instruction is not followed, the spiritual master also retracts. He will not give further instruction. He will just say, very nice, do nice to me, things like that. So if somebody is telling like that, that means we have lost the connection, or we are not still fully this sort of, somebody is having the courage to come and tell, he has got that freedom to come and tell that what you are doing is wrong, that means you are behaving properly as a disciple. Otherwise, if they are very nice with us, that means we are not behaving properly as a disciple. So it's something like just as well.
Rishabhu just made a point that sometimes we get the instructions, some are known, we try to execute, and some are not known. And even when we know it and when we are not executing it, the spiritual master might not give further instructions. So when a spiritual master, he with freedom, he comes and chastises the disciple, it means he has accepted him or he is ready to give more instruction. But when he glorifies only, then it's a dangerous situation. Wonderful point.
That
we should, our desire should be same as Krishna's desires, and how to know Krishna's desires is through your guru and mentor and senior devotees.
Yeah.
So sometimes we feel we are left out in the process. No one is taking responsibility. It's because of busy life. How to deal with it?
I used to meditate on this point because when I was feeling the same, I was meditating on this point. So it's all about the sincerity of the devotee. It's not about it's not the person's mistake who is guiding us. It's all about our sincerity. Are we sincere or not in our endeavors? Are we really intense in our devotional service or not? Okay, forget about the intensity. At least do we have a desire to attain Krishna or not? So Prabhupada says, right, that till the point we have people who want to get cheated, they will be cheaters. Obviously, that's on a completely different thing. But then, when it comes to our life also, if we are qualified, we will surely get someone who will take our responsibility. I remember when I was choosing my spiritual master, so at that time I gave a big list. So Amarendra was guiding me at that time. So I gave a big list. If I have to take initiation from someone, then I should get personal association. I should be doing service to him. I should be washing his clothes, cooking for him, massaging his lotus feet and all that. And Prabhuji looked at me and like, do you think you're qualified for all this? So we have to ask this question, am I really qualified? What I'm expecting? Because when we want someone to take our responsibility, it means it's a big thing. We want someone to take our responsibility and take us back to Godhead. That person should be that qualified. And to get such a qualified person, we have to be qualified. So now the question is, am I really qualified for that? And if I'm qualified, Krishna is there in the heart and he is there as Chaitya Guru, he will do the needful. See, this bhakti process is foolproof, completely foolproof. There is no question of we will be cheated here. This was told by Harikshitapu a couple of years back when I had this doubt. So he had told me this and I always cherish this particular point. The bhakti is a foolproof method. It's all about our desire. If our desire is proper, suppose for the person whom we are taking guidance from, we are not getting proper time and things like that, Krishna will send someone else if Krishna wants us to progress much higher than that. But then if we are not sincere, if we are not serious, if our desire is not proper, then Krishna will say, okay, you just manage this, whatever is there. So this is a very important point that devotees have to meditate on. Same question is asked to me by some other devotee also. So instead of pointing to some other devotee, why don't we point to ourselves, that am I really qualified now or not? Yes. And am I really crying for that? No, sadhus or shuddha bhakta, pure devotees, or the ones who can take our responsibility, will not come just like that. Yes, initially Krishna will send a few devotees, move this situation, they will do collect contacts, connect us to things, connect us to the center and other things. But then, if we want someone to guide us very nicely, and also that devotee should be on an advanced platform, so we need to call out for that. We need to cry, because it's a very, very good or a very important asset in a devotee's life, if someone is there who can guide very nicely. So this is what is my answer, that we have to ask ourselves, that am I qualified? Am I having a desire, one-pointed desire to attain Krishna? And second, am I crying out for this, what I'm expecting? So these two things are it.
And also, am I going and approaching?
Am I also going and approaching? That is also there.
It's not that like every time somebody should come and do something.
Yeah.
Am I going and approaching?
Am I going and approaching? We might have our guide, but then am I going and approaching them? That is also, that's the first point, in fact. And after that, these two will come when the time is not here. Thank you very much. Grandhra Srimad Bhagavatam ki Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki Papa Mochane Kadashi ki Jai. Thank you.